That's one prayer that if he will answer, all of us will benefit from. You can open your Bibles to the book of Joshua in the first chapter. I do have a word from God, and I believe it is prophetic. And what I mean by that is anytime you hear from God, the word you hear has the potential to transform your life. And each of you will hear something different in this word as it relates to a specific area of your life where you need to hear a word from God. I'm going to read a good bit of scripture and let God speak more than I will speak this morning. Joshua chapter 1 finds the children of Israel in transition. Everything around them is changing. Their leader, Moses, who was valiant, who did great and mighty, powerful acts, and all of Israel saw it. Now, after 40 years of Moses leading them through a minefield of the wilderness, they're at the border able to see every promise God had made to them. They were looking at the land God had promised them. And they knew when they got there, they would never be slaves again. They would find a land rich with resources, everything they would ever need to live in luxury and enjoy the blessings from the hand of God for the rest of their lives. They could see it now. But Moses was dead. Every structure that had supported their routine and rhythm of life for 40 years was now suddenly removed from them, like snatching a rug out from under their feet. And they were left spiraling with questions of what do we do now? Moses, our leader, is dead. And some of you may feel that way, that everything you've put your support in terms of structure has been removed and you don't know what to do next. I can't approach this subject without thinking about my mother's mother, my grandmother Avant. She and my grandfather were godly people, hardworking people. My grandfather worked at a mill all of his life. My grandmother never worked a day in her life. She was not educated, did not go to school. She never learned to drive, never drove a car. She was a godly wife and mother to 3 children and then 10 grandchildren. She was a saint of a woman. But I remember the day suddenly when my grandfather died, instantly, without warning, of a heart attack. And my grandmother, I'm sure, felt a lot like the children of Israel did right here in this passage when my grandfather was suddenly taken away from her. And now she was all alone in the world without any support structure that she had been used to all of her life. This is when the scripture begins to speak to us today. Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. God said, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land that I have given you. down in verse 5, God said, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. And then God said to this new generation, this new leader, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. And again God said, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. God said, this is my command. Now, it's not an option at this point. Not a take it or leave it. This is my command, God said. And again, he repeated it for the third time. Be strong and courageous. And then he elaborated on it. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, those few verses are packed and loaded with powerful promises from God for every one of us. It was a new day. The promise was within sight. They could reach out and touch it now. And they had fresh marching orders. However, quickly, we go forward to Joshua chapter 18. 18 chapters come and go after God gives this kind of strong command and a release for new leadership. 18 chapters later, we hear from God again. Beginning at verse 1, now that the land was under Israelite control, the entire community of Israel gathered at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle. But there remained 7 tribes who had not yet been allotted their grants of land. Then Joshua asked them, how long are you going to wait before taking possession of the remaining land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, have given to you? Do you get the picture? 18 chapters earlier, they were at the border. They could see the promise. They could reach out and touch it. And God clearly spoke and said, go on over. Joshua, you take the lead. And then 18 chapters later, we find that the majority of God's people, that would be 7 out of 12 to be exact, 12 tribes, and still 7 out of 12 had yet to take possession of what God had given them. And Joshua looked at those 7 who had not yet taken possession and said, how long are you going to wait? That's the question for us today. How long are you going to wait? Now, there are several phrases I want to revisit quickly as we move forward. Moses is dead. It's a new day. The old structure is removed, but God has something new. One phrase is, the time has come. Listen to me. Right now, while I'm speaking, God is speaking more loudly to you. And some of you have always heard up until this hour, the time is coming. But beginning now, for some of you, you will hear God say now, the time has come. The time has come for you. The time has come for you to lead. And every single person who's called and surrendered under the Lordship of Jesus is called into leadership. It will require discipleship. It will require training. It will take some time. But all of us are called to lead. You are not called to lead the same group I lead. Nor am I called to lead yours. Some are called to lead a wife. Some are called to lead children. Some are called to lead citizens when they're elected or appointed to a position of public trust. Some are called to lead students. You can call it teaching, leading, you can call it mentoring or being an influence, but somebody is following you, so therefore the time has come for you to lead. How long are you going to wait? Then we need to hear those words Joshua heard when God said, I promise you. Do you know what he's promised you? Revisit the book and read again all of his promises and hear God say with conviction of voice, the time has come and I promise you. It's in the book. And then as we go on quickly, we also need to hear God say to us, as Joshua heard him say, no one will be able to stand against you. It reminds me of so many other scriptures coming now. If God be for you, who can be against you? No one, God is saying to you, will be able to stand against you. Now then, he gives us some qualifiers. Be careful to obey all the instructions. You'll be successful in everything you do only after you obey all the instructions. And then repeatedly he says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be quick to obey all the instructions. So you need to write this down. Maybe delayed obedience is disobedience. Well, God, I hear you, but now I'm going to get around to that. Now, God, I got some legitimate reasons why I got to put that off. Delayed obedience is disobedience. We are given right here four commandments for God's people on the move. Right here in Joshua chapter 1. First of all, be strong. Secondly, be courageous. Thirdly, do not be afraid. And then fourthly, do not be discouraged. Now, how can we do all that? It clearly tells us, study the book of instruction daily. Some things are so simple, I don't even know why I bother. Some things are a no-brainer. If you've been saved 30 minutes, you should know. Study the book of instruction every day. Every day, study the book of instruction. Daily. Terry Tripp, standing right here a couple of years ago, and he will be back later this year. In fact, September the 20th, Sunday morning, Terry Tripp returns, and he's a powerful teacher. And the reason why is because he studies the book of instruction continually. And he said right here 2 years ago, people come to him all the time and say, look, I hear what you're saying, to meditate in the word every day. And they would ask him, Terry, how much every day should I read? How many chapters? How long of a time? Terry said, I tell him this. He said, study every day until you have a moment. What if we did that? Study the book of instruction daily. Now, can I be honest with you? I'm 59. I just turned 59, and I know I look a good 10 years younger than that. But now listen to me. I'm old enough to say some things. I'm old enough to dress a certain way and get away with it. Like plaids up here and stripes down here, and it don't matter anymore. Drove through Burger King or somewhere, you know, a few months ago, maybe weeks ago, and at the drive-through, you know, I told them what I wanted at the speaker back there. Now I'm up at the window and, you know, giving them. And the sweet little lady said, are you a senior? So I must not have sounded like one at the speaker. But now that I'm at the window and she sees me, and I said, no, I am not a senior. And I said, well, how old do you have to be? She said, 55. I said, oh, Jesus. Then I said, how much can I save? There are some benefits to getting older. And here is one. Here is one. Listen to me and don't forget this. Because some of you are of a certain age where you will get it right now. Others of you are close to it, and the day will surely come when you can say what I can say now. 59 years I've been a student in the book. Now, not all that time was voluntary. Some of that time I was drug. As they say, I had a drug problem. I got drugged to church all the time. But I wouldn't take anything for it now because of this. There was a time when I was so desperate, in need of a word from God, that I have literally done this before, and probably so have you. I would say, God, I need to hear from you. I don't know what else to do. I'm just going to open this book of instruction. I'm just going to randomly open it, and I'm going to let my finger fall on a word. Please use this method to speak to me the word I need. I've done it, and he has spoken to me that way. But now wait. I'm 59 now, and I've been a student of the book of instruction all my life. So now I don't have to do it that way. Listen, after so many years of studying the book of instruction, when I need a word from God, I don't have to put finger to paper. I can do this. Lord, I need a word. Somewhere in my heart, there has been sown a seed that is incorruptible, and I need it now. And I find it here. There is a benefit to being faithful and not giving up. There is a benefit to remaining strong and courageous. There is a benefit to studying the book of instruction continually. Now, quickly, I want to read from the New King James Version, 2 Kings chapter 13, just a few verses beginning with verse 14. Here again, another great man is dying. As we saw in Joshua 1, Moses was the leader who had died. Now we see a great prophet, the greatest prophet in his day, on his deathbed, his final hours, the great prophet Elisha. And it says this, beginning in verse 14 of 2 Kings chapter 13, Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. In other words, he was terminal. He saw this coming. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over him. Now you've got the king mourning and weeping over the dying prophet of the day. And said the king, saying to Elisha, "O my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." And Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." And so he put his hand on it. And Elisha, the prophet now, placed his hands over the king's hands that were on the bow. And he said, "Open the east window." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And the king shot. And Elisha the prophet said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria," who was the enemy of that day. "For you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them." Then he said, "Take the arrows." So he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, the prophet speaking to the king, "Strike the ground." Now this is important. So the king put a bow, put an arrow in the bow and struck the ground three times. Three times and stopped. Three times and stopped. Verse 19, and the man of God, Elisha the prophet, was angry with the king and said, "You should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. Your enemy would be destroyed, but now you will strike Syria only three times." So the sad story of starting out and stopping short, becoming discouraged, growing weak instead of strong, having fear instead of courage, and becoming discouraged in the battle. You should have struck five or six times and you only struck three times. Listen, many victories are never won because we don't remain engaged in battle long enough. We become discouraged and unfaithful. Now imagine God being unfaithful. That's a stretch. Thankfully, we'll never have to suffer through a day like that. But what if God were to come up to you and say, "I'm just not going to be your God anymore"? That's unfaithful. God never will, because He is faithful. And He tells us, be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid, and don't even get discouraged. Hey, He said, the time has come. I promise you, I will be with you. Yes. Study the book daily. Yes. And do it. I think that's about all we need. We complicate some things that are so simple. God will never say to us, I'm tired of being your God. Many, 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 many years ago, 2.5 decades plus, in the early years of our church, there was a minister who was in transition. He had pastored before. The call of God to pastor was on his life, for life. But he was not pastoring at that time. He was worshiping with us and a blessing to our church. And that went on for months and months, while we knew all along the day would come when God would send him back out to pastor. And this man came from Massachusetts. He's a good man, by the way. I'm still not going to call his name, but he's a good man. And he said to me privately one day, Carl, I'm feeling the stirring. I believe God is about to assign me back into the ministry as a pastor, and I feel like he's calling me back to my hometown where I was born in Massachusetts. And I said, well, we'll be praying for you about that, and we're excited about God doing that in your life. And the next day he called me, later in the day, and he said, Carl, I've got to tell you what happened. This is one day later. I said, all right. He said, well, the house across the street from ours is for sale. It has a for sale sign in the yard. And he said, I was out sweeping my driveway, and across the street I see the house that's for sale, and I saw a car drive up with a couple, a husband and a wife, and they got out and walked around the yard over there, and I'm sweeping my driveway. I'm almost out at the street now, and I see they're obviously looking for a house, and they're looking at that one because it has a for sale sign in the yard. I'm just sweeping my driveway. And when they went to get back in their car, I said to them, hey, are you guys interested in buying a house? Because if so, we're thinking about putting ours on the market and moving out of state. And they said, well, yeah, while we're here, we'll look at it. And he said to me on the phone, this one day later, Carl, that's how it happened. And they came in and looked at our house, and they went and called their lawyer, and they're drawing up papers to buy. I got to be out of here in 30 days. I'm on the way to Massachusetts to start a church. That's how quick. Wouldn't you like to sell your house that quick? I mean, God all over it. God was all over that thing, because his biggest thing, but I got to sell my house before I obey God. He was just sweeping his driveway. Somebody bought his house that quick. So as a church, and to plant a seed in another church plant, which we have done dozens of times over these years. I mean, we're responsible for a lot of churches all over the nation and in other nations. That's part of who we are and what we do. So we said to him, you go up there, you get settled in, and you find a building to rent for your church and give us a call. We want to help you with the rent on your first location there. We want to be a blessing. So he did, and we committed. Well, we're gonna pay your rent on your church. It was just a small storefront. We commit to 3 months. That'll be a blessing to you. We're helping get a church started. And then after 3 months, we talked again and all along and decided, let's help him. He's doing good. Let's go for 3 more months, which we did. And he asked me, he said, Carl, will you fly up here and preach for me on a Sunday? So I did. Flew into Logan Airport in Boston, and then we got in the car and drove, an hour or so from there, to a city where he lived, a smaller city, and I remember there were a lot of boats. I guess they did some fishing around there. And I remember some things about that trip up there. I remember that the police cars had a picture of a witch on a broom. And the police cars called that city the Witch City. Now, I'm from the South, the Bible Belt. I didn't know we had a part of the United States where they were proud to be called the Witch City. Well, while we were there, that pastor and I went to the Witch Museum. Now, I'm always a little different than most people. But I said, I want to go to the Witch Museum while I'm here. Because I've always known. Well, for a long time now at least. I'm 59, still learning. But I've always known, greater is he in me. So I wasn't afraid to go. I didn't think no witch was going to try to possess me. If anything, they're going to tremble when I got there. So he and I go to the Witch Museum, and I got a picture of me laying my hands on the sign, the Salem, Massachusetts Witch Museum. It was in a city close to where his new church plant was. And we went in, and I mean, we confused everything in there. That was all. We didn't make a scene. I didn't scream and rant and rave and turn red in the face and preach or anything like that. Just present. That was it. That was my mission right then. Just be present. Let some spirit recognize I was there. Jesus said, be strong. Be courageous, he said. Stay in the book, you'll be all right. So I preached for him on a Sunday when his church was 3 months old. Also a strong Catholic spirit. Now, we're not against the Catholics. 25% of you are Catholic. And or at least at one point in our church growth, we took a poll and 25% of our people were not Protestant. And we thank God for the Catholics. Praying for the Pope, by the way. Frank. Well, I'm in English, you know. I'm speaking English, Pope Frank. But I preached for this man when his church was 3 months old and he had 26 adults in the Sunday morning service. A good start in a dark place. Such oppression up there, witchcraft strong up there, religion choking the life out of you if you let it up there. And yet, after 3 months, a brand new church plant, he had 26 adults on a Sunday morning. He was off and running after 3 months. And yet, when 6 months was over, he called me on a Monday morning and said, Carl, I just want to tell you what I announced to the church yesterday. I said, okay. He said, I told everybody yesterday, this is our last service. We're no longer going to pursue starting a church. Thank you for coming, those of you who have been coming all this time, but we're releasing you and encouraging you to go find another church. This one is over. And I thought, what? Why? He had such a good thing going. Listen, there's a scripture in Revelation that says, the dragon sits at the door of the womb, ready for any new thing to be born. Ready for any man or woman that will dare hear God say, the time has come. The dragon sits at the door of the womb to devour the child as soon as it is born. Listen, Jesus is saying, be strong. Be courageous. Do not be discouraged. The time has come. I promise you I will be with you. No enemy will be able to stand against you as long as you're alive. Now stay in the book of instruction daily. How sad that story was. That a great church was in the formative stages, and yet he got discouraged and bailed out. Now, he's a good man. I'm not speaking against him. I know what it's like. It's easy to be weak and fearful. Easy. It takes something extra to remain faithful. Be strong and courageous and win over discouragement consistently. I'll tell you exactly what it takes. It takes studying the book of instruction continually. Now, I'm going to give you one last scripture, and it's a good one, and then we're going to go home some more. I'm sending 50 of you up the river right now. Lisette, would you come to the piano, please? You can help us get out of here quicker. It's going to help me out a lot just to hear you back there. But I'm going to talk right now in closing about your next strike against the enemy. Your next one. The very next time you find yourself, and it may be today, eye to eye against the enemy, and it's time for you to strike. And you'll remember that the prophet told the king, strike. And the king struck and quit, stopped short, just gave up too soon before victory. Your next strike against the enemy will be like this. John chapter 4, Jesus speaks these words beginning in verse 37. He says, for in this the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. Now right there, we've heard a different science to that truth. And we know it's true too. You will reap what you sow. We know that's true. You will reap what you sow. But now Jesus is giving us another dimension of the law of sowing and reaping. He's saying right here, and he's calling it the truth before he says it. One sows and somebody else will reap. And then listen to this next verse. It has everything to do with your next strike against the enemy. Jesus said, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. So I am speaking a prophetic word over you in the battle of life on your journey. Where you are right now, whatever enemy, whatever challenge you're facing. So many others have gone before you and fought that battle. And they may have stopped short of victory. But they wore the enemy down. If they had just struck him one more time, they would have complete victory. But many have become discouraged and stopped short of the ultimate victory. And you just happen to be the one now that's walking that leg of the journey. And you are the one who will deal one blow. And that will be a death blow. You haven't fought all that hard. Others have come before you and done most of the fighting. They have worn your enemy down. They have sown the seeds. But you, Jesus said, I sent you to reap from seeds others have sown. Listen, don't wait any longer. Joshua said, how long are you going to wait? Hear God speak today. Hear him speak to you specifically, and hear him say, many of you for the first time, hear him say, the time has come for you to lead. I promise you I'll be with you. Nobody will be able to stand up against you as long as you're alive. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be discouraged and give up too soon. There is a benefit. to being faithful for life. Stand up if you